Good morning, dear faithful, on this great feast of Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Ghost on this day, and we celebrate this feast for all week. Today's Mass is being offered for Thirtsa Anchila Domini Grant by her parents, James and Diane Grant. And I believe that many of you have been anxious to wait for the news of our reopening. As you know, this past week, the Archdiocese has given their initial guidelines for the first phase of their reopening. And so I invite you to look on their website of the Archdiocese to see how that will be. And as you know, as we continue to wait for the introduction of Sunday Mass, which might be made public this coming month, in June, right? We might be able to start later in June, maybe the second half of June. The Archbishop, nevertheless, has extended the dispensation to all Catholics from the obligation to assist on Sunday Masses until September 6th, even if the Sunday Masses will be public before. And of course, it will be there will be public Sunday Masses before that date. So it is only for those who feel that and are compelled out of fear or worry that they might contract the virus. And so therefore the Archbishop has been generous to dispense this obligation so that no one is forced to come to Sunday Mass when indeed this coming month in June, when hopefully the Sunday Masses will be made public. And so let us pray for that patiently, and let us not have an anxious or angry spirit. We know that the Archbishop is taking these steps out of precaution. But of course, how we patiently wait for that day to be in union with all of you here at Mass. And so, normally the Masses would, weekly Masses would only be permitted at this time. And the Archdiocese has said that if churches are ready, they can open their churches for weekly Masses on June 8th. However, dear faithful, I am part of a religious order, and each priest is bound by canon law to perform his private retreat in silence. And so the dates have been fixed long before this pandemic by my religious order, the Institute of Christ the King. And so all of our priests will be on their retreat, and including myself. But because of the travel restrictions, I will be making it here within the state of Connecticut at a monastery. And this canonical retreat will take place on the fixed days of June 8th to the 12th. And I know that June 8th would have been the day when we could open up for Mass. But because of my required retreat, which I do need in order for me to recharge, especially spiritually, in order to continue to minister to all of you. I'm not abandoning you, dear faithful, or leaving you behind. It's just that it is required for my spiritual benefit. As you know, I am a human being as well. I'm not a superman, even though I may have the power to confect the Blessed Sacrament and offer Mass for all of you, and also for the dead. Please know that, and I hope that you understand my requirement and my need to spiritually rest and retreat in order for me to reflect on my ministry and how I can better serve you. So that will take place from June 8th to the 12th. And because of this, my sincere apologies for the slight delay then of reopening our church. And I would like to open the church for public weekly Mass, for weekday Mass on June 13th, so the day after I come back. And that's a Saturday, June 13th. So it's just a few more days. I know that we have been anxiously waiting, but I do know that maybe it will anger many people. And so please know, I will ask the Lord that we all remain in peace in this time. And I do understand your concerns, dear faithful, as many have expressed that already to me in messages and phone calls. So I do know that it is a very tense time But I hope that this Pentecost Sunday will help us to really notice the fruits and the graces of our Lord. And of course, on June 13th, we will be able to have regular confessions again. Of course, respecting the social distancing guidelines and proper hygiene. And we will be able then to have weekday masses. And so I hope that's a benefit for those who have been coming regularly to Mass before the pandemic, at least for this time. And for the time being, we will be, when we do have weekday masses in public, I will continue to live stream the week, the Sunday Mass at least. Of course, because none of you will be here present, and so I hope that it's still quite a benefit for you, even though I know that live stream is not a substitute for our masses, for the liturgy. And I do know people have been dying or have been desiring to come back to Mass and to receive the Blessed Sacrament. But at this time, please understand that we will be having weekday masses first. And then gradually, if we continue with our this adaptation of a social distancing, of spacing ourselves apart, of wearing gear if we have to, also taking precautions, please know that then we will be able to reintroduce Sunday Mass. And we will wait for those details of the introduction of Sunday Mass, which of course are forthcoming during the month of June by our Archdiocese. So thank you again for all of your patience and all what you are sacrificing and being deprived of. I do know that you are more deprived of the sacraments than myself, but please know that as a priest, I mediate between you and our Lord. And so please know that we are always united in the holy sacrifice of the Mass, even though we are not physically present at this time. Please know that we do have our bulletin that we publish weekly. And so please consult our website, ickspe.org, and clicking on our St. Patrick Waterbury Apostolate there on the page. You'll be able to access then my letter, which explains the first phase of what we're doing. And of course, we have to limit our faithful for the weekday masses to 50 people at this time. But that will pose no problem since we do not receive so many people for Mass during the week. And so, but if it does exceed over 50, we will have to then find ways to limit that in order to respect the rules established by our Archbishop. And so, again, thank you again for all what you're doing, and for those who have been hurt by all of this, whether spiritually or physically, please know that may the Holy Ghost help us all in understanding what is going on through this time. And of course, we received with great sadness much criticism on how we administered this parish and how lacking in courage that I may be during this time, or my fellow brother priests, or maybe our Archbishop. But please, dear faithful, it is not a time to give critique at this time. We need to remain in charity, in the theological gifts of faith, hope, and charity. It is similar to our lives, dear faithful, the spiritual combat that we have in our lives. Our Lord may allow temptations to happen where we question our faith or are deprived of the sacraments, or maybe we're tempted to sin in whatever way. And so, dear faithful, this is also a challenge for all of us. We do understand that. I do understand that, especially being so close to the Blessed Sacrament, which I know you've been desiring so much. But I think through the reflections of these past weeks, dear faithful, we have come to understand the value of our faith, of our religion. And it is a good sign if we are very concerned. And it is also a good sign and motivation for us to pray then for our Catholic Church. And even though if what we think could be the best solution to handle this pandemic crisis, we know that we have to be in our place too. I am in my place. I am not a spokesperson for the Catholic Church, since I am not part of the magisterium. I only diffuse what the magisterium teaches. You know, it is really the authorities of our church, which we, of course, try to obey according to the reasoning of our moral theology. But also we do know that there is civil law too. As long as it's morally acceptable to follow, we ought to follow those guidelines as well out of precaution. And yes, it is very sad to see some people who might be arguing or debating. But let us keep the peace, dear faithful. We see so much violence today, especially in the secular world, even in the riots that we see in the current events of our time. So let us not have that spirit of violence too in our heart, but always remain tranquil during this time. And I do hope, dear faithful, as we conclude our novena to the Holy Ghost today after Mass, that we do realize the need for God. We all need our Lord. We do need the Catholic Church. And no matter how weak and sinful the people within the church are, we do know that our Lord continues to love us and protect us as long as we're faithful to His commandments and to Holy Mother Church. So please, dear faithful, we bear this together. We bear these sufferings together. And I hope one day we will be able to have Sunday Mass again, hopefully within a few weeks from now. But let us not have that spirit of negativity always, because it will only make us worse. That is what I'm warning, dear faithful. That is what St. Francis de Sales also warns us, and it helps us to pay attention. This spirit of negativity, which we should really positivize and be optimistic with the graces of God. So as long as you continue to pray to receive these graces of God, dear faithful, we will be able then to overcome this together. But we must cooperate in the graces of God and remain tranquil and docile. And that is what my message is then for the sermon for today. And I hope that it will be beneficial for you. If indeed, dear faithful, you still have concern over all of this, please simply give me a call at the rectory. There is no need to post very violent or insults or comments on our webpage, because it does not help the people who see our live stream. It does not help the work of God that we're trying to do as much as we can to the best of our ability. So please, dear faithful, I ask you to be tranquil in your heart, in what you type online, what you text, and especially on our Facebook page, which should not have these violent or vicious comments. Please, dear faithful, I ask you, because if this continues, dear faithful, then I will probably be compelled not to live stream anymore, because it will only affect those viewers who see that negativity in the comments that are being relayed on our Facebook page. So I would not like to do this, dear faithful, but I would like to protect these faithful who should not see these vile comments or messages. Let us keep a spirit of charity, dear faithful, because charity is what keeps us in union. And I beg you, dear faithful, to please help us in this. And that may the Holy Ghost help enlighten you to do our best, as I'm trying to do my best as well, dear faithful, and Abbe Kevin as well. Despite of our physical ailments that you probably notice, both of us struggle right now, we try to sacrifice all our pains and sufferings for you as well. And so I ask you then for your continued prayers to help also for my recovery from my health right now, which is not doing very well, especially with my tendonitis and what I'm suffering. I cannot kneel that well or genuflect, and I do know many other people are suffering even greater, greater pains. And so, please, dear faithful, keep us all in your prayers as we keep you in our prayers. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So on this great feast of Pentecost, let us have this positive and joyful spirit, because the Paraclete has arrived for all of us. Let us recall then that marvelous scene described by St. Luke in the Acts of the Apostles. 10 days have passed since the apostles witnessed the ascension of the Lord. They had retired to Jerusalem to await the visit of the Holy Ghost, who will complete the grace of the priesthood already bestowed upon them and will miraculously transform them, making them not only priests but also disciples and apostles. The moment has come for this accomplishment, through which the words of our Lord, still so mysteriously, will be fully understood by them. It is the morning of the great feast of Pentecost. And for the Jewish people at the time, it was a very large and important celebration. The apostles and the Blessed Virgin Mary are in prayer, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty wind coming, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. In the form of tongues of fire, the Holy Ghost descends upon the disciples and communicates the fullness of his gifts. They go forth into the streets, and St. Peter addresses the multitude with his new eloquence of his speech, enhanced by the Holy Ghost himself. 3,000 people, moved by grace, were converted, forming the nucleus of the church, which will soon fill the world. So let us adore the divine Holy Ghost. Let us thank him for the grace which he communicates to us, and resolve to act with his strength and under the guidance of his inspiration. What can we learn from this great week of Pentecost? Let us recall how the apostles were vivified by the Holy Ghost and how we can apply those great effects in our own lives. The Holy Ghost revealed to them the nature of their vocation in life. Christ called them to be his evangelists and apostles and witnesses of the faith. He had instructed them at the last moments of Christ's life. He had imprinted in their souls the character of the sacred priesthood. And strange as it may seem, their apostolic call was still a mystery to them, even during the beginning time of Christ's public ministry. They know it was indeed an important task, this ministry, but they were still a little obscured by its understanding. But when the Holy Ghost came, they at once understood it all. The words of Christ were now clear for them. No longer it was a mystery for them. For us, we have been preached the Word of God, and we live in accordance with the life of the sacraments. Therefore, we all should call upon the Holy Ghost as well in order to aid us in our call to serve him in whatever function we are called to serve our Lord. The Holy Ghost, in addition, gave courage to the apostles. And this courage is something that we all need, dear faithful, and we do know that we're asking the successors of the apostles for the much-needed spiritual courage to fulfill their ministry as they govern the various churches around the world. And in the same way, We ought to receive that gift of courage from Him, as well as in all our trials and our obstacles. The apostles had been so weak and timid that they hid themselves in Jerusalem for fear of the Jews. But when they are under the action of the Holy Ghost, they became heroes of the faith. When the apostles first followed Christ, they were truly attracted by the prestige of His personality, says St. Jerome. Perhaps if at the time, at the beginning of our Lord's ministry, if they knew exactly what the Lord would require of them, they would have been incapable of so great a sacrifice. How many of us, including myself, would be in a similar disposition? How many times, dear faithful, do we question that? But on Pentecost, strengthened by the Word of God, the apostles joyfully entered upon the life of sacrifice that opens before them, accepting all its rigorous hardships. They knew that their lives were not easy, but the Holy Ghost encouraged them and gave them the gifts to cope with that hardship. Without fear, they are ready to suffer everything in the name and glory of the Divine Master. And they only have one ambition: to make Christ known and to spread the word of life throughout the world. They promptly had gone forth to preach the resurrection of Christ. And in a similar way, we struggle, like the apostles, with hardships and consolations, with hardships and obstacles, and especially during this crisis that we all experience somehow, to some degree, an added burden was placed on us all. But if we remain faithful to the Holy Ghost, dear faithful, we will see that these inconveniences and hardships and deprivations that we all experience can be overcome by having courage to move forward. And therefore, dear faithful, let us not have a spirit of discouragement or anger during these times. As with any time of our life, dear faithful, it will not help our soul. That is what I'm asking, dear faithful. And that is what the Holy Ghost is also prompting us to avoid. To avoid these negative feelings and emotions which might affect then the progress of our spiritual life. And especially with the passions that we have, let us use only the passions for good and not use them for sinful things. In a time when we are patiently waiting for the return of the sacraments, and we do know that the weekday masses are coming soon, and God willing, Sunday masses will be made public later in the month of June, we do know that it has become so difficult for all of us. Many turn to anger, frustration, and contempt. But let not evil thoughts reign in our heart, dear faithful. But rather, ask the Holy Ghost to energize us with His gifts so that we may maintain a positive outlook on our soul and with the situation that we are all in. The Holy Ghost, who gave perseverance to the apostles in fulfilling their call, can also give us that same perseverance so that we may continue to be in the state of grace. How horrible it would be that because of our sinful anger or because of a mortal sin that we committed, that we have lost all the graces that we have been receiving during these troubling times. So let us call again, dear faithful. Let us say an act of perfect contrition. And soon we will be able to have publicly scheduled confessions. And especially for those states who have already opened up and archdioceses have opened up in other places in the world, we can go to the priest and ask God from the priest absolution. And as we now know that in a few days we will be able to access the sacraments again. Let us appreciate the value of these salvific signs of God's grace. Sacraments that we may have taken for granted repeatedly, or that we had not taken much attention in the past. We may have become those Catholics who just go through the gestures and motions. But I believe because of this deprivation that we all experience, we do truly know now the true value of these efficacious signs of God's grace, which is so special in our Catholic faith. And especially with the fullness of the seven sacraments, which no other religion can claim, we do know that the truth, the fullness of Christ's church is here in our Catholic faith. Clearly, we can see the value and the greatness of the sacraments when they were deprived from us. Instead of sadness and anger, dear faithful, let us imitate the apostles with perseverance and supernatural courage. And it is such encouraging to see and hear news from our parish families of what they are trying to do during these times, that they're not letting it go to waste, to see that they are continuing to do as much as they can for the sake of their homes or the households, to continue to do their projects and chores, which they might not have had time because of their work or their schedule before the crisis. So let us appreciate all of these things that we have probably not been able to partake. And let us appreciate that. And reflecting upon the apostles, they suffered. They had dangers. They were persecuted. They had to undergo through all of this. And we also read from the lives of the saints, the many courageous missionaries who persevered in order to preach the gospel. Let us thank these saints and these holy apostles for that holy faith that has been passed down to us. And now, dear faithful, more now than ever, we ought to transmit all of our precious gifts of our faith to others as well, to let them know the true faith of Christ in the Catholic Church, the true faith of our Lord, the true faith that we have in Christ in the Catholic Church. The graces that were received by the apostles are also necessary in us. Let us continue to ask the Holy Ghost to help us with our state in life and our calling to follow the will of God with a generous spirit of courage, by accepting all the hardships and sacrifices that are implied with our occupation or our ministry and responsibilities. Only the Spirit of God can make us faithful until the end. Let us not waste these precious gifts and help from the Holy Ghost and remain sterile and unfruitful in our lives. Rather, let us ask the Lord for a docile heart, and that we may become worthy partakers of the glory of Christ by imitating the lives of the saints. We are indeed temples of the Holy Trinity, and the third person of the Holy Trinity, the Holy Ghost, is a spirit of love that helps us with our daily lives, helps us with increasing in our holiness, our sanctification, just like on that day when the apostles and the Blessed Virgin Mary received him 50 days after the resurrection of Christ in that upper room in Jerusalem. The Holy Ghost is the guest of our soul and helps us with charity, because the Holy Ghost is charity himself. And as fellow Catholics, dear faithful, what better way to express our faith and religion than charity to everything we do, to even the little thought or the little comment or the little word that we say to others. Dear faithful, we do know that charity is key in all of this. And we need to embrace the Holy Ghost much more now than ever. And that is why most of us all, in the midst of this confusing and uncertain time, let us prioritize a life filled with the Holy Charity, rather than bashing or debating or saying that everything is not going as planned and being depressed. Dear faithful, know our Lord asks us to practice this Holy Charity to help us remain encouraged during these times. This Holy Charity, it is a manifestation that we live by the Holy Ghost if we are charitable ourselves, instead of the spirit of other evil influences. Imagine every time we renew those acts of kindness and charity to our neighbor, it is like we invite the Holy Ghost to be in our soul more and more. The outpouring of the Holy Ghost should not only come at the moment of our baptism and confirmation, but each and every day. If we think about continually being in the holy presence of the Blessed Trinity, then we will be in the right path. We will reduce our selfishness, our impurity, our anger, our frustration, and we will increase in us our docility, obedience, and faithfulness and trust in our Lord. Come, Holy Ghost, Creator blessed, and in our hearts take up thy rest. Come with thy grace and heavenly aid to fill the hearts which thou hast made. To fill the hearts which thou hast made. Amen. Alleluia. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.